Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Three and Out podcast. I'm Kyle Reams. Today, I am with Jadeve Pant.
What's up, guys?
And Mikey Schwartz.
What up, everyone?
So today, we are going to talk about the college football playoffs, the two games that have already occurred, some bowl games maybe, and a look forward to the national championship, as well as the NFL wildcard games. We will be having a coaching special coming out sometime in the near future, so stay tuned for that once all of the coaching hires have been confirmed. But right now, we're just going to get right into the college section. We're going to talk about the two playoff games that have already happened, Clemson versus Ohio State and LSU Oklahoma. Let's start off with LSU Oklahoma, the Joe Burrow show in full effect.
Jesus. First of all, why were these games, was it me or were these games super early this time? Usually I feel like it's a New Year's thing. New Year's Eve kind
of. Well, I mean, it's the bowls that are a part of the New Year's six, so.
Yeah, I was just a little surprised it was this early. It felt a little too, I don't know, I was like.
That's your main issue with it?
I mean, listen, the game was going to be a blowout. Oklahoma didn't deserve it. No, I have my round robin theory this year. Mm-hmm. I think we should have played a round robin tournament between Clemson, Oklahoma,
and LSU.
And LSU.
Just see what happens.
And a points table. Do it Premier League style.
On Barclays?
Going Barclays Premier League.
Or just a play-in tournament for the four soon.
Yeah. And this is where it's so funny, actually, because people try to still make the argument that there should be expansion. I mean, this year's a perfect example. Four is the perfect number. I mean,
I disagree because I think you can't have three and you can't have two. I think four, if you have four, you're always going to have a week four spot, potentially a week three spot. I don't think you're ever going to have four incredibly strong teams. I think it's rare.
That's why it's the perfect number.
No, I think it's rare that you're even going to have three strong teams like this. So I think that the best way to do it is to expand. And look at March Madness. March Madness is so good because there are 64 teams, and the teams that would never have a shot if it was.
But my counterpoint to that is in college basketball, you get each team can only sign two, three recruits a year. I think in football, if you look at the recruiting, Alabama can get 14 five-star players if they want.
Right, but look where Alabama's at right now. Alabama's not in the playoffs.
Well, I'm not saying, I mean, but look at Clemson, Ohio State, and LSU. Those guys are.
Personally, maybe it's because I'm a Wisconsin fan. I think Mikey will agree with me as a Michigan fan. I think that one or two losses, just basically saying, oh, well, if you lose week two, your season's over.
I mean,
if you lose week two to like a random team, you're done.
Well, maybe you don't deserve it if you lose to a random team.
You deserve to be, like, you can be the best team in the league, and let's say your QB gets hurt for one game, like he goes down early in the first quarter.
Well, I think
he comes back
I think the committee does a really good job of kind of compensating.
But what if there's four undefeated teams? Then what?
Then they get priority.
I just think that I think there's no problem with an eight team. I think there shouldn't be. I don't understand. Hell, make this regular season one game shorter. I don't care. Eight team playoff is so much better.
I think we should have a two team playoff. I think we should go back
just
to
a championship.
Let's go to the
BCS
national championship. I've
awful.
Really why?
Terrible.
What do you have against the BCS?
Way too subjective.
How? I think I could name every year since the playoff. I could name the two teams I thought deserved to be in the BCS national championship. I mean, the only year that's really been an exception in terms of wow, that team made it was the Ohio State team. But if you look at that roster, the Ohio State team, ever since that Ohio State
which one,
team
the
with
Cardale
Jones made the championship, I don't think it's been like even close.
I just think that it's you're opening, not only are you opening yourself, the college, they're the slashing, but I don't think, not only are they opening themselves up to more criticism by doing that, that's something that can be. No matter how obvious you think it is, there's always going to be people who have different opinions. And even, like, let's say hypothetically, like, this year, and it was Clemson and LSU in the championship, as it is. But if that was a BCS system, the amount of hate that would happen because Ohio State didn't get it. Even though, yes, Clemson did beat Ohio State. There's still an argument to be made that since they didn't play, we don't know who's better. But now that they played, we know.
That's true. I just think 2-4 is the perfect amount. I just think it's going to be hard to be arguing for an eight. Like, if I'm in an 18 playoff, it's very hard. It's easier to argue 5 versus 4 than, in my opinion, 9 versus 8. I think that's the best argument. That's my personal argument.
What, 5-1 in a bye?
Like, in terms of getting, like, who should get in the 5th or 4th seed. It's easier to argue for a 4th seed versus a 5th seed than a 9th seed versus an 8th seed.
Mikey,
if
what
that
do
makes
you think?
Sense.
I definitely agree with the 18 playoff. We've seen teams like UCF that were undefeated and dominated in their bowl game, but they didn't have a chance to prove that they were one of the best, if not the best teams in the country. And there are teams like that all the time, and if they don't get a chance, there's no way of knowing that the national champion is the best.
I just think there's already so much opinion being injected into this with, like, already it's a vote. That's no other sport has that. This is the only sport where it's completely arbitrary.
This
almost.
Is why I love college football. What does the NCAA do? We don't know.
Right, exactly. There's there's no criteria. There's nothing. It's completely human based. That adds a lot to it, yes, but that also takes away from a lot of it, because you might not see the best teams play if one team gets unlucky or one team's a little bit overrated. Like, it's there's no numbers necessarily involved, or the number, you know? Like, I just think 8 teams is such a good amount, because then, yeah, you might get some teams that don't deserve it, but also, like, hypothetically, you look at an Alabama team, I think if there was an 8-team playoff, I think they'd be voted into it, and I think they can make some noise. I just think that giving them a chance, UCF the last couple of years, I think they can make noise. I just think it's unfair. But
now let's focus
on the game. Tangent aside, LSU Oklahoma, not good for my argument about 8 teams, 63-28. Joe Burrow with the greatest half in college football history, right?
49 points in 1 half. Jesus. I think he, I know this isn't, like, people don't want to say this, but I mean, he could be, he's making the argument for arguably, I know we had our decade special. Released a couple days ago, but I think he's making the argument for one of the best players of the decade.
I think,
honestly,
best of 2020 for sure. But
it
was a little joke there.
Yes. I mean, the decade starts in 2021, but that's beyond the point.
What?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, shut 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Shut up. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think that career-wise, I just think that this season alone has been so incredibly dominant. And, like, he's just, he never, like, he didn't look bad ever.
It reminds me a lot of, you know, like, we're going to talk about this later in the NFL section, but remember when we used to watch the Patriots and it'd be a 3rd down and it would, you just knew it was going to be a
no doubt in your mind.
It was
slant
be a completion.
To Edelman.
Or Edelman, or like a curl in the middle to Amendola.
Gronk, yeah. Seam route.
This is what it reminds me of. I feel like he's the most accurate quarterback I've seen
every
in my life.
Every pass he threw was, and he threw hard. Like,
even the passes when
remember when Sam Bradford broke the completion record by throwing checkdowns every single pass? This is the highest completion percentage in NCAA history, I think. And he's throwing bombs. Like, he is. His yards per attempt, I don't remember what it is, but it's high.
And, I mean, those 10 incompletions, I mean, I remember at least 5 of them. They were well-thrown balls, just drops. The only thing that's killing him right now is his wide receivers dropping the ball. Otherwise, he could have a way higher completion percentage.
Yeah, I really expected this to happen. I mean, it was clear that the top 3 teams were by far the best. But also, I just wanted to make a point that this showed how much better the SEC is than other divisions. They
welcome to the club, Mikey.
Yeah,
welcome to the club.
It just showed that other divisions really can't compete with them.
I'm a kid from LA who belongs in the South.
Calm down. Calm down. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think that 1 year is not enough of a basis for that. But just touching on Oklahoma, who looked completely outclassed here. The fact that Lincoln Riley has never won a playoff game, yeah, he's led the team to the playoffs. Yeah, he's had two first overall pick quarterbacks.
How does that
kind of put a damper on his ability as a potential NFL coach?
I think people saw him in the this is going to sound like an over-exaggeration here, but people really saw him in the Saban light in terms of like quality of coaching, but I think now in my head he's really moving towards like the Brian Kelly category, if that makes sense. He reminds me a lot. I think he's Brian Kelly. I don't know. That's just what comes to mind. I think in terms of success, listen, the guy can win, but I think there's going to come a point where those guys in the Big 12 are going to catch up with him. We saw it this year. They could have lost both of their games. By far, they could have lost both of their games that in the Big 12 championship and against Baylor. I think Texas comes back next year stronger.
That's every year. Every year that's been said.
Texas is back.
Texas is back, baby. Same no, L. It's never back. It's never been back.
I think there are still teams that are going to catch up. I think that he has harder competition coming his way. I know we talked about Spencer Rattler a lot on the Decade Special being maybe that next Oklahoma quarterback, but I think he's losing something with this team, and I just don't see him as an NFL coach. I think he needs to win before we can talk about that.
I kind of disagree. I think he can be an NFL coach, but not a head coach. I think he's made it clear that he's a great offensive mind, but I do think he's nothing more than either a quarterback's coach or an offensive coordinator.
And I think that makes – like, he's not leaving the Oklahoma job.
He's not leaving the Oklahoma head coaching job to be an offensive coordinator.
One could argue that there are probably 10 NFL teams out there whose coaching job is worse than the Oklahoma coaching job.
Right. One thing that I don't understand why we don't see more often potentially is kind of a coaching style where you don't have a head coach per se, you have an offensive and a defensive coach. I don't get why we don't see that more often, where it's instead like basically what the Rams do, where the Rams did have Sean McVay calling offense, and they did have Wade Phillips calling defense. He was officially not re-signed today, actually, but they just had those two coaches. Yeah, Sean McVay is technically called the head coach, but they're each calling their own side. Why wouldn't, hypothetically, a team, if they wanted Lincoln Riley as their offensive coordinator but wanted him a head coach, promote him or just call him up to the big leagues, basically, and say, hey, you're basically the offensive coordinator. We're going to get an older defensive coach, think like a Vic Fangio kind of guy, have him kind of keep the players in line and do the defense.
I think it stems from the word. It is the word coach.
Right.
I think the entire idea of someone being a coach and just like the mental kind of what we associate the word with is I have full control. Right.
Do you doubt Lincoln Riley's ability to control an NFL locker room?
I do doubt it. I'm not inside that locker room. I think right now he's a young, fun guy. I think he needs a couple more years. I think he is the most likely college coach to win, like to move up. I think he has the best chance. Like he is the closest to a college coach, I think, moving up and making it happen, besides probably like Joe Brady at LSU. But I think he needs a couple more years. I think I know this is going to sound funny, but he needs to build this program even more before I can
trust it.
Right.
And now on to the other game of the slate, the better game for sure in terms of quality. Clemson, Ohio State. Clemson took it 29-23 was the final?
Yeah.
Ended on a Justin Fields pick in the end zone on
devastating
what seemed like a miscommunication.
Yeah.
But this is a huge game for Trevor Lawrence's stock.
Yeah. I mean, listen, when I saw this guy, heading into this year, did you guys think he could improve anything in his game? Did you guys really think like there was anything?
Mobility was the only thing, really.
And mobility with parentheses, like, oh, you know, it's all right.
It'd be nice if he could run a little bit.
Yeah, like all quarterbacks. Nice if Tom Brady could run. But
he can't, but
I mean, it's still nice.
It's a nice thing to have. And then in this game, pulls out, what, 60-yard touchdown run?
Yeah.
He's
67-yard touchdown run. He's outrunning players. It's not like one of those touchdown runs where, you know, that one Peyton Manning touchdown run that he had? Like
that was that juke? Oh my
like
god!
That 2-yard touchdown from Peyton Manning, where he just kind of walked in because no one thought he was going to do it. This is a basically 70-yard touchdown. He faked out multiple defenders and just flat out outran a couple. And I mean, after his start to the game, after his start to the season, where he didn't look that good for the first three games, Trevor Lawrence became underrated for the rest of the year.
Oh, definitely. I think, like you said, he definitely improved his stock. But I think the thing he showed that he could do most is be a leader. He's still a young guy, sophomore, and to bring his team back against a great team like Ohio State from where they were, empowering them, like inspiring them with that run, I definitely think he showed that he is capable of leading any team.
Yeah, and that run came at a pivotal moment too. And yeah, I think that was a huge game for him, huge game for Clemson. They haven't lost in, what, 30 games
now? He hasn't lost a game in his college career.
Clemson hasn't lost in like 30 games or something.
Yeah,
it's
crazy. And think about how well they put. ETN only had 36 rushing yards.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean.
Or did he get hurt? I feel like he got hurt.
No, he had 98 receiving yards.
Oh, he had 98 receiving. Oh, no, it was the LSU running back.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they were playing well. I think that final drive, I mean, he looked like an NFL quarterback. That's the most NFL ready I've seen him. Like this entire year, that final drive where it looked easy. It looked like a guarantee he was going to get a touchdown.
Right.
It was his best possession of the game, and it was against the best defense in the country.
What do you think of the decision to punt there for Ohio State?
I think Ryan Day is a young coach, and I think he learned from that.
Could you remind me what was the fourth down yardage?
It was fourth and four. Within the Clemson 40, I think you have to go for it there.
I'll support his decision. I don't think college kickers.
Not go for the field. Just go for it.
Fourth and four is a little iffy. I think he made the right decision. I think Ohio State played arguably as good a game as they could. I think just Clemson played a better one. And I think you look at that game, and I know. It really just came down to, I mean, like, I've said this to my friends, but it really just came down to Fields being a freshman. He played like a freshman that night, and Trevor Lawrence played like he had a year of experience under his belt and got the job done and got the win.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone for it. You got to trust your defense. They've gone you this far, them and Fields. But, yeah, with Jeff Okuda, such a great defense, Chase Young, you got to just trust them.
Yeah, I mean, it was really just the two picks from Fields. I know, like, obviously, he's a freshman. Like, I'm going to give him a pass. But, like, those two picks were the difference in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, listen.
The last one was not on him.
The
last one was a miscommunication. Or the receiver slipped or something. You can see it there.
Like I said.
It's a freshman move, yeah. But you can see it's on the receiver. I always
blame
the receiver in those situations.
It's still, those two picks cost him the game. I mean, listen, J.K. Dobbins is leaving, so there's going to be a little bit of a reset from the Buckeyes. Chase Young's probably going to leave, or Chase Young is leaving, yeah. So I think, listen, there's going to be a little bit of a reset, but I trust this team's depth. For God's sakes, we didn't know who Chase Young was 2 years ago, and look at him now. I think there's definitely a chance. I think they'll take a little step back. I still think they win the Big Ten next year, but
Graham Mertz is the future of
Michigan also had a very good recruiting class. Don't count them out.
I think that
very Big Ten podcast we got going on here.
Yep, and the kid from LA who thinks he's from the South.
You really do act like some SEC supremacy. But now, do we want to talk about any of the bowl games?
Boo.
Let's talk about the Rose Bowl.
Hey, Kyle, can you describe the Rose Bowl setting in your trip to the Rose Bowl from start to finish?
I would say it was like 70% Wisconsin fans, which was fun. It was a good experience, the Rose Bowl.
You have a fun time with your family?
Had a wonderful time with my family. All Wisconsin fans, it was lovely.
A lot of cheese in the area.
But Rose Bowl, obviously, amazing atmosphere, but this is such a Wisconsin game. QB couldn't get anything going. Defense looked so good. Herbert, I think this was definitely the biggest game of his career in terms of his draft stock. And looking at his stats in terms of he looked really good rushing the ball, like stat-wise, but watching the game, he had three carries basically, and one of them was just a long one where he got it on a read option. But he didn't look that good this game. Wisconsin has a very good defense.
I mean, in his defense, he only threw 20 passes in four quarters. That means like he's only throwing like five passes a quarter.
Right. How many yards do you have though? Like 103?
138.
He also threw a pick, and it was a bad pick. But I just, as a Chargers fan, as a fan of a team that's looking for a quarterback, I just can't get behind drafting him that high. I think he's way too erratic. I think he has the talent. I just don't think he's going to have the smarts for it.
I agree. I don't think he's ready. I think he's the third quarterback off the board for sure. I think he's better than Fromm, worse than Tua. I think that's a perfect assessment of who he is. It's amazing to me that it seems like the Rose Bowl is the only bowl that can figure this out. How to make money without, how to create an entertaining product with teams that don't care. And like, how do you think, like, because I felt like the Sugar Bowl was, I felt all the New Year's Six Bowls were very underwhelming, very boring. I thought the most exciting game besides the Rose Bowl that wasn't a playoff game was the Michigan game, Michigan-Alabama, and that was only for like the first quarter. I mean, how do they change this? Do they get rid of the bowls? I mean, like,
I don't think there's any way to change it. I think it's too ingrained in the culture. I think it's too important. I think...
How do you create it? Like, is there any way to create...
18 playoff.
18 yep. playoff. So what, every new... So the Rose Bowl no longer has its tradition.
Well, it didn't last year. Or 2 years ago.
Have a Rose Bowl game in the playoffs.
But they also alternate.
The way the New Year's Bowl or the playoffs work is they alternate... They alternate.
So if we had a 18 playoff, that'd be what? 4, 6. That'd be 7 total games. So would we? I don't know. I just think the way, I think credit to the people who make the Rose Bowl happen, the teams that are playing, they always really, I always feel like they're giving their best effort.
Right.
And like that, I mean, that's just like my big takeaway from this game, like how entertaining the Rose Bowl can be when it really is pointless. Championship time?
Championship time.
Thought it was going to be this week. I think we all had the impression that it was going to be this week.
No, we always get a week off.
No, we don't. I thought it was going to be today.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're recording this on the first Monday of January.
6th.
Yeah, it's the first Monday of January.
Oh, I thought you meant like the first.
No, first Monday of January. Championship is the 13th. It's the second of Monday of January, if you do the math real quick. But... Clemson versus LSU at Clemson at LSU, excuse me.
Yeah. Cuz
this game is in New Orleans at the Superdome. This is a home game for LSU. I think there's zero chance they lose this game. Old takes exposed.
I think that if you're looking at this game, let's just remember. Let's think about Cam Newton's Auburn team. They took down Alabama and they beat Oregon in the championship. That's a single-season great team right there. Let's look at Florida State's team. They took down, I believe, Oregon in the championship. I mean, if you look at these teams that have insane single seasons, they have such good success in winning the national championship. I think it's bound to happen. I've got LSU here.
Yeah.
I disagree. Even though it is kind of a home game for LSU, I think Clemson, Trevor Lawrence has the experience in this type of big game. They have the talent with a dynamic running back, solid receivers, and I just think it will come down to Trevor Lawrence outplaying Joe Burrow.
I think it's crazy that I don't disagree with you in terms of the reasons you cited, but I think that it's crazy that the true sophomore we're saying is going to win because of his playoff experience compared to the fifth-year senior.
Yeah, this is going to be a hypothetical here, but if LSU wins, I'm just going to name the teams they beat on the way to a national championship. Texas, Florida, Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Clemson.
Yeah.
I think you could make...
Dominance.
Is that the greatest... I mean, I think if Joe Burrow wins this, it's the greatest single season performance we've seen in our life.
I think the greatest single season performance we've ever seen. I think that the pure dominance he showed throwing the ball is unmatched. Also, running the ball. I think overall, quarterback-wise, he's so impressive. I think Coach O is a...
Joe Brady.
I think Joe Brady is honestly more...
He could be an NFL coach.
He's a little young. A little young.
I mean, by the way, I mean, obviously it was a great story. LSU dominating after that tragedy that happened with the offensive coordinator's daughter. I mean, it was really, like, a great redemption story on their part. Listen, I think they're motivated. They want to win. They're going to play like they win. It's a home game. I don't see how they don't win. And, I mean, so what if my take gets exposed in a couple days? But I just think that LSU is made to win this game.
I agree. I think that LSU has been unstoppable throughout the entire year. It's never really seemed in doubt. And I don't think that Clemson is going to change that. It might be closer than it has been, but I don't think LSU suddenly is going to play. I mean, they've looked dominant against competition just as good or just slightly worse than Clemson. I mean, Alabama, Oklahoma, they looked dominant against Oklahoma. I don't think that Clemson's going to be able to dethrone them.
Should we go score predictions? What's the spread of this game?
I think it's 8.5.
Really?
For LSU?
8.5 LSU.
FBI says Clemson has a 55.8% chance of winning.
FBI does?
Yeah.
Damn.
The spread is LSU.
Football power index.
The spread is LSU Clemson, LSU minus 5.5.
Oh, it was 8.5 when I saw it the other day.
I think it moved down. Mikey, from a betting perspective, I'm curious.
Well, since I am a minor, I would never bet. But if I were a betting man, I would definitely take LSU. I'd actually Clemson, I apologize. Money line, actually. Gives you great
odds. Really?
And I'm confident they will win this game. Just such a great team. Obviously, both teams have a lot of talent, but they've had more time to play together. I think Isaiah Simmons will be a difference maker on defense and make things somewhat tough, or tough enough on Joe Burrow that the offense can take over.
Do you think that I kind of have this rule in a lot of college football playoff games, but do you think that the first team to throw a pick loses? Do you think the first, whoever has the more turnovers in the game will lose by far? Is that like,
I think whoever scores the least points will lose.
No, but do you think it comes down to who throws more interceptions, Burrow or Lawrence?
I don't. I think that they're both going to play well enough that it's not going to matter. I think it's going to be who can get secondary contributions the most from the team. I mean, is Clyde Edwards
Hilaire, He's playing? Yeah.
That's huge for LSU.
Yeah.
That is giant. Obviously, they didn't really need him last week, but having that kind of running back threat is important for this team. I think LSU is going to take it just because matched up against each other, they're very similar teams. Obviously, I think that Clemson has a better defender in Isaiah Simmons, who's, other than Burrow, the best player on the field during the game. But I just think matched up, LSU is the better team, and I think Burrow at home, I think that edge at home is going to push it over.
Should we do scores? Let's do scores now.
Let's do it.
I'm going to go 27-21 LSU.
I'm going 31-27 Clemson.
So wait, sorry, say yours again.
27-21.
31-27.
Oh, that's
Clemson.
I'm going to go 35-27.
I like LSU. I like Kyle's pick the most. I think I'm surprised none of
us
went
your pick.
No, I'm surprised none of us went into the 40s. I'm going low scoring. That's my personal opinion.
I think 35-27. I think it's barely going to clear the over. No, it's going to be just under. It might be 35-30, honestly.
What is the over under?
At 69.
Pretty high.
Thanks, Jeff. The over under is, I think, 69. I think it might be 35-30.
That seems right.
I think it's going to go under. 69 is a lot of points.
Yeah, I'm confident in my pick.
And that is going to do it for our college section. Now on to the NFL section, talking about the wild card game. We will, as I mentioned earlier, be having a coaching special coming out in the near future, so stay tuned for that one. But now on to the wild card games, starting off with Texans-Bills 22-19 in overtime. It was a game.
I didn't think Sean McDermott would coach that, but I didn't think both sides would coach that.
Bill O'Brien has been proven to fail in the playoffs.
Okay, Bill O'Brien, I was expecting. Sean McDermott, I wasn't. Honestly, it was just a good warm up. There's not really much to say. I think
it was.
I think the Bills played
ugly.
I think the Bills played really well. I think the Texans under. I think yeah, the Texans underperformed that game. That should have been a touchdown game at least. That didn't go into overtime. But listen, Deshaun proved he is one of the best, and I think he's going to give the Ravens fits.
I mean, he single-handedly won the game for them on that one play. He broke two sacks. I mean, Deshaun Watson is the real deal, and I think he can carry this team for the foreseeable future. However, he's going to need some help if he wants to get past the Ravens. I don't think he can do it himself in this specific stance. I think he's good enough to take them to the playoffs, potentially the second round. I don't think he's good enough to win them, get them to the conference championship.
Definitely, because, well, since Deshaun Watson is going against Lamar Jackson, he doesn't have the quarterback advantage. He needs a secondary player to help him out. And after DeAndre Hopkins, they don't really have that secondary player. I guess maybe J.J. Watt, but he was obviously not fully healthy. The Ravens have so much more depth that I agree with you. I think this next game is going to be a blowout.
And now on to Jadiv's favorite game of the schedule, Patriots-Titans. Titans took this one 20-13. Jadiv, let's hear it.
I think you two should go first. I have a little interior monologue prepared. Or should I just say it now?
Go for it.
Listen. You guys are going to all say the dynasty's over. I have a different theory here. It's not over. I think it's more, as a fan, as a Patriots fan, I no longer expect this team to be Super Bowl or bust. For me, a win is to win the division and make the playoffs. I no longer see this as a need to make the Super Bowl every year. A two-year turnaround is still possible. People forget we had three starting offensive linemen out for that game. James Devlin has been out the entire year. It is still possible to turn this around. We can get Robbie Anderson next year. People were saying the dynasty is over. The dynasty is not over until we miss the playoffs. That's my personal opinion. And I think, listen, I think we have 2 years left with Brady if he stays. And I think that with a wide receiver signing, all the guys coming back, a couple good draft picks, we can be back in the Super Bowl. Maybe that won't happen. Maybe we will disappoint. But I think the main thing as a Patriots fan right now is getting rid of Josh McDaniels. That is my goal.
Oh, you don't want him to be the successor anymore?
I don't want him. I think that our play calling has been redundant this year. I think it is sad that me, as a kid who has not played football since I played tackle football in seventh grade, can predict every single play we are running.
What position do you play?
I played center.
Same.
I think it is very sad that I can predict the plays. I think it's very sad that our colleague who is not here today, Alex Amster, can also predict the plays. I think the play calling has been redundant this year. I want him to leave. I think it also helps. I think it will be very advantageous in resetting Brady. What better way to keep a guy than saying, we're going to give you a new challenge. Let's see you win a Super Bowl with a new guy. I think we're going to bring Chad O'Shea back as the wide receivers coach. We're going to teach N'Keal Harry right. And listen, we can be back in 2 years, but we may also be the end of the dynasty. I just don't have Super Bowl expectations anymore, and I think that's really what the game signified for us Patriots fans.
I feel like what you just described kind of was the end of a dynasty. This is the end of the dominant Patriots team that we saw, so I think that is the end of a dynasty. Yes, they still are a good team, not great, but good. But that isn't the type of team that you expect from the Patriots.
Well, I think then, by that logic, I think the Patriots then were split up into two dynasties over the last couple years. You could
before
say,
and after Brady tore his ACL.
I'd say before or after Brady tore his ACL, but then in between, there's like a little three-year period where they didn't.
That was when Brady was at his best. That three-year stretch where they didn't make the play, where they didn't make the Super Bowl. And Brady had something to prove?
Actually, that's false. Brady was at his best when we went undefeated. That's not even
false. Well, he had Randy Moss.
Yeah, that's true. But definitely, listen, I think that people have different definitions of how a dynasty ends. But, I mean, in terms of blame, I know this is going to sound a little funny, but the Saturday night we lost, I did a lot of research on the Chinese theory of dynastic cycles. I know this is going to sound a little crazy now, but there's a theory that once you lose the mandate of heaven, that you that's when the dynasty collapsed, when you no longer have the support. You've done something wrong. I think it's really been, this team has lost its touch with the Patriot way. Tom Brady having a social media page, constantly being involved. Kyle Van Noy, our defense, trying to always be on TV, always state their opinion. Bill Belichick recording all these specials. Rob Gronkowski leaving. I think we lost touch with what made us great, and that's what to blame this year.
Damn. Well, Brady the Chargers, and but remember how good this defense was at the beginning of the year? I mean, they played the easiest schedule, but like there were people talking about like this could be a historically good defense, and then first round loss to the Titan, to the Ryan Tannehill Titans.
Couldn't stop Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry had 170 yards.
God. 183.
That guy? 83?
183 and then 22 receiving yards.
Jesus.
As much as I want to mope in this loss, I have to admit, Derrick Henry can play. I mean, the guy led the league in rushing and rushing touchdowns. He can play. I think, talk about a comeback story. This is a guy we all kind of forgot about. And for him to, you know, perform that way, to prove that running back still have out, he's going to get paid big time in the offseason.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I think he's going to definitely do well in free agency. Mm-hmm. I mean, congratulations to the team. Listen, they played well. Mike Vrabel had a great coaching performance. I mean, there's not really much for me to say. I think I said it best in previous statements. But, yeah, I mean, for some people, maybe the end of the dynasty. It's just, for me, a loss of expectations, right, having that Super Bowl or bust mentality.
I do have one more thing to add. I think it really is the end of the dynasty. I'm furthering what I said earlier, because Belichick's whole thing is that he stops the other team's best offensive player. He failed to do that, and I think that's symbolic of just the end of the dominant team.
I like
that
close reading you got there.
I really would. I think if this is really the end of the dynasty, I think that it's fitting. I think that for the Patriots to ride off into the sunset and to ride off into the sunset by winning a Super Bowl and them all retiring was never a
That's not the Patriot
way.
They're going to go out fighting.
The Patriot way is to go out. We are going to be at our last limbs, and we are going to fall at our weakest point.
Mm-hmm. And now on to the NFC side of the wild card, starting off with the Vikings and the Saints.
Favorite game of the week.
Overtime, Kyle Rudolph gets the game-winning grab. Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins finally wins a big game.
Two big plays.
Two huge plays in a row. That bomb to Adam Thielen to set up the game-winning score. This was a fun game. Taysom Hill was so involved for some reason.
Taysom Hill outplayed Drew Brees.
Wild.
By far.
1 for 1 for 50 yards, and then a receiving touchdown and
50 rushing yards.
I mean, at this point, if you're a Saints fan, don't complain. You got outplayed in your own stadium. I think the Vikings played, arguably, I'll say it right now, the Vikings played one of the best games any team has played this season. I think they were firing on all cylinders defensively. They played well enough offensively. It was one of the best games I've seen from a team all season.
Yeah, and
there's not much you can really do if you're the Saints. Like,
sure, there may have been a little bit of offensive pass interference on that. Saints fans, if that was Michael Thomas instead of Kyle Rudolph, you would not ever talk about that. I think that, sure, there was some contact. You can't call that there.
Worst fan base in sports.
There are some arguments to be made there. But
in football.
I mean, there's no other fan base that got a rule added to.
I mean, they made a petition to change the game.
Yeah, they
to, like, change
like,
the
they
result.
Got it, like, to the Supreme Court or something.
I still believe that we ignore Bounty Gate too much. Hot take.
They tried to injure everybody. Remember that? But then, not much more to say about that game. Good job by the Vikings there. Saints a little bit disappointing. Is this it for Breeze?
No.
He's 40?
I think that the team is still always going to be good. I think this is actually like kind of that Drew Breeze range. I think that could be maybe what Brady's doing for the next 2 years. Maybe if there's not a Super Bowl, Brady could end up in like a Drew Brees position, making the championship game, making the divisional. I don't know if he's touching Super Bowl anytime soon. Maybe they bring back Joe Brady. I think they've maxed out their potential, and this may, I don't know.
Yeah.
What there is, they can, I don't know how they can improve more. I think the main thing that I saw on that field was a defense that was divided and fighting. Obviously, we saw the Lattimore stuff. That was not the best look for the team, and I think that it'll be interesting to see how the Saints can really get better. I think they're on the decline, and I think no one can deny that.
And then on to the last wild card game, Seahawks-Eagles. Seahawks won 17-9.
There's not
much to talk about. It's just kind of a boring game. Carson Wentz went down.
Unfortunate play. Obviously a dirty play. I think you can't deny it.
I wouldn't go as far to say dirt. Definitely not a clean play, though.
Yeah.
But
just an unfortunate incident.
I don't necessarily think that Javon Clowney purposefully tried to hurt Carson Wentz. It definitely wasn't a clean by-the-books play. But unfortunate for the Eagles. I don't think they would have won this game with Carson Wentz, but I think that was kind of the nail in the coffin for them there.
And I think, listen, I think that people, obviously, we should do a little reflecting on Carson Wentz here. I think that for you to not consider him one of the better quarterbacks in the game, arguably a top 10 quarterback, is ridiculous. To make the playoffs with what this guy had, to win the game against Dallas with...
This team sucks, okay?
And he made it happen somehow.
They don't have any skill position players left. And it's Zach Ertz, and he was hobbled last game.
Goddard's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Their other
Goddard,
tight end.
Goddard's good. Yeah.
Listen, I'm sorry, but a second string tight end is not the same thing as having any good receivers.
And obviously they probably don't win this game with Wentz, but I think you can't deny at this point.
Right.
What he was able to do with this team throughout the year is very commendable.
We're only able to say this because Amster's not here today.
I think you can make the argument that, listen, in maybe another year where Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson aren't playing the season of their lives, this could have been an MVP season on Wentz's part.
For sure. And now on to, first of all, I would like to say one more thing. Remember when Amster was freaking, I'm going to pick on him because he's not here to defend himself. Remember he was freaking out about DK's three cone drill? And about how he
combine clickbait.
He couldn't be a good NFL receiver because he didn't have the agility.
I need him to see. He's not the number one wide receiver yet. I think.
I don't care.
He had a good game though.
He had a great game, and he looks good, bro. I'm just gonna say he looks good. And then on to the divisional round. A little quick previews. Starting off, Vikings at 49ers. I will be at that game. Very excited for that one.
Kyle will be on the 3&Out Twitter for that game. He'll be live streaming.
I'll live tweet it.
It for a little bit, so be on the lookout for that. Let's not do scores for these games.
Just quick predictions. I mean,
49ers.
I hate to say it. Vikings are my second team, for those of you who don't know.
Since when?
You didn't know that?
I've not known that.
The majority of one side of my family is all Vikings fans. Have been for years, my entire life, basically. And even before I liked an NFL team, they were Vikings fans. So they were kind of always my team until I started to like the NFL.
Until you had a brain.
Until I started to like the NFL. I was like, oh, I'll like the closest team, and that's the Chargers. But they were always kind of there for me. So I'm rooting for the Vikings in this playoffs, but they're not going to win this game. This is going to be the Niners.
I don't give them zero chance.
I don't give them zero chance at all.
I think the main thing that I take away is that they are playing their best football right now, but the 49ers are also playing some of their best football right now. That's why I got to take the 49ers here.
I actually have a different opinion than you guys. I'm taking
Skull.
The Vikings.
Skull.
I've actually got good reasons, in my opinion at least. This was a fully healthy Adam Thielen that we saw the first time
him
in a while.
He looked
really good, and that changes the offense. Mm-hmm. Teams could just fully game plan around Dalvin Cook, and now that Thielen was back, Thielen did well, but also Cook played great.
Cook did play great, and honestly...
spread's -6.5, by the way, or -7, relatively.
For Niners?
Yeah.
All right, take the Vikings there. But when I was talking with my family about potential Vikings playoff matchups, we were talking it was either going to be Saints or 49ers, and most of us... came to the agreement that we'd rather have the 49ers because the Saints seem a little bit scarier, honestly. I don't trust this 49ers team in the playoffs, honestly. Like, to be honest with you, we've never seen them in the playoffs. We don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo is going to do.
But I think at home, this is the... For Jimmy G, this is why the rest of the NFC should be scared. For Jimmy G, this is the best possible tune-up game for the rest of the
playoffs. This is his first playoff game.
And this is the best first playoff game possible he could have.
I think they're going to win it because I think their defense is great.
But I think it's close. I think they don't cover the spread.
They're amazingly coached, but I just don't think that... I wouldn't be surprised with any outcome. Yeah. I think if the Vikings we saw last week come this week, they could win it for sure. I mean, the Vikings last week, as Mikey said, fully healthy Thielen was huge for this offense. Remember, Diggs was throwing a tantrum on the sideline because they weren't throwing him the ball. They have Stephon Diggs, and they're not throwing him the ball, and they're winning against the Saints. Imagine if they can get him involved in the offense, which I'm sure they will this week, considering how he reacted last week. Like, as soon as he started freaking out, they got him the ball, and he started making the plays. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get him more involved. Underrated player, C.J. Ham at fullback is big for this offense, too.
So
league leader in fullback assists.
Yeah. So 49ers.
49ers, but it's close.
Vikings, and it's close, obviously.
Yeah. And then next, onto the other NFC game, we have Packers and Seahawks. I believe that's actually the last game of the
slate. Let's go Titans-Ravens.
All right, next game is the first AFC game. We have Titans at Ravens. This one, this is a blowout.
-9 spread.
Yeah, this is
going to be, is going to be less than 9 or greater than 9?
I think it's going to be more than 9. I think that the Ravens, with a first round bye, Harbaugh has been coaching.
I think something important to note is that one of the Ravens' losses was against the Cleveland Browns, who, like the Titans, have an elite running back. I mean, have a very good running back in Nick Chubb. I think that.
What was that?
Those
that
first
was week
four
three,
games
though?
Were
week
not
four?
The same team. The first four games, they were not
yeah.
the
yeah.
same.
I think that is a very valid point to bring up. But also, think about, I'm trying to think about the wild card teams last year. Think about the Chargers. The Chargers kind of upset the Ravens last year. And people were like, oh, can they go in and can they beat the Patriots? No, because they ran a very specific offense that, or in that case, defense that beat a good team. This time the Titans beat ran a very specific offense that beat a good team. It's not going to work against the Ravens. The Ravens have a better defense than the Pats, and they have 100 times better offense than the Pats do. I think
it's unanimous Ravens here. I'm going to say it's going to be less than 9. I'll say a touchdown.
I don't think so. I think that I'm so excited to see what a fully locked in Lamar can do in the playoffs. I think this is going to be a highlight reel game for him. And then next, Texans Chiefs. There's something about this matchup that always is good. I don't know if you guys remember a couple years ago there was that one game where Deshaun Watson threw like 5 fourth quarter touchdowns.
Yeah,
saved my fantasy league. But
Chiefs -9.5.
That -9.5. That feels like a lot.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a close game. I got the Chiefs here, but very close. I think it's another one of those games where we're like, wow, Deshaun, wow. I think it's right. going to be another wow, Deshaun game. But
I think if it's a wow, Deshaun game, that can't be good because, I mean, that was the – let's be honest, that wasn't a good Bills team. They were fine. They weren't that good. But they needed Deshaun magic to win that game. I do not trust Bill O'Brien 2 times in a row. Yeah. And I think Deshaun Watson's going to make some great plays. I don't think it's going to be enough against this incredibly explosive Chiefs offense because I think one big play for the Chiefs this game is one big play for the Chiefs and the Texans don't respond. Hypothetically, they throw a pick or fumble or get stopped or something, this game's over.
Yeah, I got the Chiefs, pretty obvious. But also, I think they have a very underrated defense. And I just think that Deshaun Watson won't be able to compete with Mahomes.
And then lastly,
best game of the week.
Packers, Seahawks.
Oh, I'm excited.
This is going to be good. Packers are favored, I think, 3.5.
Four by now.
Four as of now.
Probably going to change.
But this is going to be a good game. Two amazing quarterbacks. This is a rematch of one of my favorite games ever, that Packers-Seahawks game.
In the decade episode, we talked about it.
That Seahawks comeback, the Brandon Bostic onsides
kinda
fumble. But
really two similar teams playing here. I think it's going to be very interesting. Two similar teams, great quarterback, decent weapons, great run. I mean,
I didn't think I'd be saying this in the year 2020. If the Seahawks can get Marshawn Lynch going, I think they can win against the Packers. That feels weird to say, but here we are back in 2015. I think
people forget what a tool Lambeau can be. I think
that is true.
I think Lambeau, to play in Lambeau Field is very hard. I know if any, I think that.
Yeah, any team can. Seahawks are
I think if any team can, I would go with the Seahawks. But we all know, I know we don't really, it's hard to have a knock on Russell Wilson, but he's not the same quarterback on the road. Like most quarterbacks in the league, he is not the same on the road.
I don't even necessarily think that's a slight on him. I think it's just how good their home field advantage is.
For sure. And I think, listen, it's going to be a really good game. I think it's less, I think it's a field goal game. And I think Rodgers just has it. There's something I like about this Packers team this year. Maybe it's that it's a team that has the stability at quarterback, but can all, I mean, Rodgers really hasn't shown us everything this year. I think he can come out firing in these playoffs, and I think he could, for once he has the defense, I think this, first of all, this is a no, I think if he loses here, that's huge. This is a no excuse year for Aaron Rodgers.
I think the one part of this that intrigues me more than anything is Matt LaFleur. And I think, I don't know how I feel about him coaching his first playoff game against Russell Wilson.
That is huge.
That's huge. And he's a very young coach. He's a little inexperienced.
I mean, but like the flip side can be, I mean, this Seahawks team is young. I mean, this is a full reset from those teams that used to be as dominant as like, I mean, this is a completely different roster from the team that made the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's totally different. Only a couple. I mean, obviously now there's more in Marshawn Lynch and Robert Turbin, but I mean, you look at the Super Bowl teams, it's Russell Wilson.
Tyler Lockett at the end, and then
KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner, and that's it.
I mean, one could argue that these teams are players-wise equally experienced.
Yeah, if I'm looking at the two teams and I'm just purely looking at them matched up on paper, I like the Packers more. I think their defense is better. Zadarius and Preston Smith are so good. Kenny Clark up the middle is great. They have linebackers who make a lot of tackles. But in the end, I feel like this Seahawks team is just going to find a way to win. Or if not like fully win, they're definitely going to make it incredibly close. But I don't know. Pete Carroll is a good coach. I don't know how I feel about Matt LaFleur in his first playoff game here. And also, I don't know, there's something about that extra week. I know it's not, I know you'd like to have the first round bye to have that rest, but sometimes you come out sleeping a little bit. It's nice to have that week in where you're playing versus you have to come out, you got to get warmed up versus you're already there.
Yeah, I think this is my personal opinion, but I think the more important part of having the first round bye is the home field, not the week off. Yeah. I'm going to go with the Packers here by field goal.
I haven't really talked much, so just really quick, I think the Seahawks are going to win somewhat easily.
Wow.
And my reasoning isn't because I'm a big Seahawks believer, but the Packers, if you look at their schedule, their only good, really quality wins are against the Vikings. They beat the Chiefs, but that was a Matt Moore-led Chiefs. They're 13-3, but not too many quality wins, and they got blown out by the 49ers. I know we're not doing predictions, but I have Seahawks winning 31-21.
You were getting that score ready, weren't you?
I was.
is it a Lockett game or a Metcalf game? I'm curious. What do you think?
I think it's just going to be pretty balanced. I think David Moore will play a factor. I think Travis Homer is going to have a big game.
I think Hollister has a huge
Hollister's
game.
Hollister's not bad.
I just don't trust. Obviously the Packers defense, they've gotten better, but their cornerbacks, Jaire Alexander, whoever he's matched up with, that's going to be the only part of the Seahawks offense that they can cover. Kevin King is a living piece of toast at this point. He's up there with Xavier Rhodes. He's not been good this year at all. And I think that you said it's Lockett. Is it a Lockett or Metcalf game? I think it's a whoever's not matched up with Jaire Alexander game. But I'm going to agree with Mikey here. I think that this is going to be a Seahawks win. There's just, I agree. Like looking at the schedule and looking at the way this team has played this year, there's something just feels off about it, you know? But I just think the Seahawks are going to take it.
So I think this is the, besides the Vikings 49ers game, is this the game where we're all disagreeing? I mean, there is disagreement.
Yes, because
we went unanimous all, Chiefs, unanimous Ravens. Should be interesting how the records turn out.
And that is going to do it for our NFL section today. And that is also going to do it for the episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to keep a lookout for our coaching special with Alex back. We're going to delve into all of the hirings and firings and promotions and all of that. And we will see you next time. Thank you all for listening.